At least 19 people are killed and many wounded in a suicide attack on a school in the Afghan capital, Kabul. Hurricane Ian leaves a massive trail of destruction across the U.S. state of Florida, killing at least 19 people. And Brazil's opposition presidential candidate Lula da Silva widens his lead over incumbent Jair Bolsonaro 2 days ahead of the country's presidential election. Hello, everybody. A very warm welcome to World News. And now our top story, a deadly suicide attack on a school in Afghanistan leaves at least 19 people dead. Blast took place in the Dasht-e-Bachi neighborhood of western Kabul. It took place as students were preparing for an exam. Police say the attack has also left over two dozen others injured. Most of the casualties are young girls. No group has yet claimed responsibility. Afghanistan's Interior Ministry has slammed the attack, saying those who target civilians prove their inhuman cruelty and lack of moral standards. And earlier, our correspondent in Kabul, Rahmatullah Baghban, joined us earlier with more on this attack.
A local source who was also the eyewitness of the explosion told me that the suicide attacker first approached the gate of the educational center and shot the security guards. Then he entered the classroom. That was a classroom of girls, and opened fire on the girls. Then detonated his explosives and blow up the classroom. Most of the casualties are girls. People here in Kabul are rushing to the hospitals to donate blood for the victims or for the injured people that are received by the hospitals. Only Muhammad Ali Jinnah Hospital in the neighborhood has received 10 dead and more than 15 injured. Other victims are taken to other hospitals. Local sources said that the figure or the number of casualties are higher than what is announced by the Kabul police spokesman, and that is likely to rise because most people or the injured people are in very critical conditions.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says Israel's crimes against Palestinian children reflects the regime's sadistic policies against civilians. Hamas emphasized Israel's crimes against Palestinian children, people, land, and sanctities will not make the regime secure, but only strengthen resistance. It's also called on international rights organizations to take serious action and blacklist Israeli leaders over the killing of children. The movement was reacting to the death of 7-year-old Rian Soleiman, who died of a heart attack after being chased by Israeli forces. U.S. has called for a thorough and immediate probe into the circumstances surrounding the child's death. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Moni Kandil, says Israeli soldiers attacked the village to arrest Palestinians, and they were even seeking to arrest school children.
Of course, it's a very sad and heartbreaking. 7-year-old Palestinian child Rayan Suleiman from the village of Taqwa was returning back home from his school, and Israeli soldiers had already raided the village of Taqwa, claiming that they want to arrest Palestinians and even students, school students, whom the Israeli soldiers accused them for throwing stones at Israeli military vehicles. According to the father of Rayan Suleiman, the Israeli soldiers were chasing the children returning back from school, and then some soldiers had already raided the house while they carry out searches and inspections. They raided the house of little Suleiman, and they were a little bit, let's say, investigating his father or something like that. Israeli military claimed that they didn't even raid Taqwa at that time. Other stories are saying that it's true. Israeli troops raided taqwa. But one of the Israeli officers were speaking calmly to the father of little Sulaiman, and they were not chasing any Palestinian children.
Hurricane Ian in the U.S. has become powerful again in the Atlantic after it showed little signs of weakening. Ian has intensified into a Category 1 storm. It's generated winds surpassing the speed of 135 kilometers per hour. Hurricane is now churning through the South Carolina coast after pummeling Florida, but devastation still remains in the southern U.S. state, and residential communities are completely inundated. Rescue efforts are underway to help the stranded. According to U.S. media, at least 19 people have been killed. Millions of residents across vast parts of Florida are grappling with power outages. Ian is said to be one of the most devastating hurricanes in U.S. history. The U.S. Midterm elections are now less than 6 weeks away, with Republicans expected to retake control of the House. Rami Mazzeri has more on the story from the United States.
Polls show that a divided Congress appears all but assured 6 weeks before the federal legislative vote in the United States, which would also ensure continued political division and stagnation. The Democrat-led inquiry over tests which alleged election fraud in 2020 continue to plod on, but polls show they have had essentially no effect on changing voters' opinions. While longtime Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi looks certain to be forced out of power in November, the top level of Republican leadership looks likely to add more so-called Trumpists, reflecting the enduring influence of ex-President Donald Trump.
I'm to go Democrat. Democrats pulled both of the Senate and the House. I think we're in for really rough times if they don't. Divided government with most of the Republicans that are running is not going to be a good thing. It's not good to have a bunch of election deniers in a democracy.
The biggest unofficial political party in the United States is actually the self-declared independent voter. Polls indicate that a huge swing of 12% has taken place within this king-making group. In 2020, post-election polls found that they favored Democrats by 7%, but independents are now tilting towards Republicans by 5%.
Not happy with the way things are, obviously. We're all worried about inflation and it's impacting our, wallets. I wish there were more parties besides Republicans and Democrats, because it's just, party interests, and people like you and me are just left behind. We have to live our lives, and politicians aren't really thinking about us.
Pollsters say the Democratic Party seems certain to lose control of the lower house of parliament, if not both houses. As the election nears, many expect the ongoing inflation and economic growth disasters caused by blowback from Western sanctions on Russia to play a larger and larger role in voters' decisions. A recent survey by Forbes found that 30% of Americans are drawing from their savings more than usual, which is the highest percentage in the survey's history. Another analysis found that the average American has lost over $4,000 in income since Joe Biden took office due to the increases in the inflation and interest rates. The midterms are on track to be the most expensive vote ever, reaching $10 billion by Election Day. Many say that's a reminder of the enormous role played in American democracy by money and advertising. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
U.S. President Joe Biden refrained from declassifying an intelligence report on the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, despite a government panel that is advising him to do so. That's according to a report by the Wall Street Journal, saying the panel of experts was formed in 2020 to review documents on Khashoggi's murder. Now in June, they recommended the declassification in its entirety only weeks before Biden's visit to Saudi Arabia. However, the president refused that request. Advocates have criticized Biden's move. Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi was murdered and dismembered at the kingdom's consulate in Turkey's Istanbul back in late 2018. U.S. intelligence has confirmed the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, directly ordered the killing. Now, with just 2 days ahead of Brazil's presidential election, a new poll shows opposition candidate Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has boosted his lead over incumbent Jair Bolsonaro. A survey put support for Lula at 48% in the first round of voting against 34% for Bolsonaro. Leftist leader has also boosted his lead to a 15-point advantage in a potential runoff. On Friday, the main presidential candidates traded accusations in their last debate. Bolsonaro called his leftist rival the boss of a criminal gang, while Lula described the incumbent as a shameless liar. First round of elections is slated for October 2nd. Bolsonaro has lost much of his popularity due to his contentious management of the COVID pandemic and the Brazilian economy. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol calls for urgent measures to contain fluctuations in domestic markets as the country's national currency has fallen to a 13-year low. At a meeting of top economic officials, Yoon said it's time to contend with market volatility and find a way for more stability. South Korea's won has lost 17% of its value against the U.S. dollar this year. The benchmark KOSPI share index has also slumped 27% in the same period. Economists in the country have warned of capital flight and urged the government to intervene in the markets. And our Seoul correspondent Frank Smith says the South Korean president is facing pressure to stabilize financial markets as his approval rating has decreased somewhat since the time he took office.
Well, as you mentioned, just to review some of the numbers, the won dollar right now is at 1,450 South Korean won to a dollar. That's a 14-year low, 17% down on year. But we're also seeing a strong dollar, extremely strong dollar against the British pound and euro. So President Yoon and some analysts are putting this really on foreign factors that are having an impact here. The president is also under pressure to do something about this because of his lagging approval rating. He's down at 24% following a hot mic incident in the U.S. where he was caught allegedly using foul language to refer to the U.S. Congress, and that also got his foreign minister in trouble with a motion of no confidence on his foreign minister. We are seeing some extraordinary volatility here in the KOSPI, that's the South Korean stock market, that's lost 27% of its value, as you mentioned, this year, and that has to do with foreigners also exiting the market in large numbers, with foreign investment in the KOSPI declining by $8 billion this year. And that's also, all of this is also related, say experts, to the U.S. raising its interest rate and also increased fears of a recession.
Now, the Russian president has signed decrees recognizing the two southern Ukrainian regions of Kherson and Zaporizhia as independent territories. This came before Vladimir Putin is to formally sign documents on Friday proclaiming Russia's annexation of the two regions, as well as Donetsk and Luhansk regions. People in the four regions have already voted to join Russia in separate referenda. With these regions annexed, 15% of Ukraine's territory will become part of Russia. Angered by Putin's move, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres described it as a dangerous escalation. Guterres added the move will further jeopardize the prospects for peace and has no legal value. In reaction, Russia's UN mission accused the UN chief of violating the UN Charter with his remarks. The mission added that Guterres does not have the right to make political statements on behalf of the entire United Nations.
This is the moment when, via live link from a neighboring room, the Electoral Committee of Donetsk People's Republic announced to the press their intention to join Russia.
Colleagues, on the question raised for the referendum, do you support Donetsk People's Republic entering the Russian Federation by the rights of its subject is considered to be confirmed? I ask you to sign the protocol. It's a historical signature. I congratulate you.
These are historical days now. We are reuniting with our big motherland, Great Russia. Now we can breathe out, take a break for half a day, and continue creating, building, and repairing. But now we are not going to do it alone. Our brothers, our friends are with us now. I would like to thank every Donbass citizen. You are heroes.
It's almost midnight here in Donetsk City, Luhansk People's Republic, Zaporozhye and Kherson. The other three regions announced their results about an hour ago. They voted yes, according to officials. Now the Donetsk People's Republic have announced their results. They both also, according to officials, voted yes to joining Russia. Now it's up to the Russian parliament to ratify these results.
Meanwhile, NATO countries have dismissed the votes as a sham. They say they are illegal under Ukrainian and international law. I put this question to Denis Pushilin moments after the result was made official.
Ukraine and NATO countries call this referendum illegitimate, and Russia is the only country so far to say that this referendum is legitimate. What do you have to say to those critics?
You know, once there was a time when Western countries didn't recognize the USSR. Our way is defined. The Western point of view was expected. Of course, we'll take into account their opinion, but we'll now act following the interests of our mother Russia.
Regardless of whether the West sees these referendums as legitimate or not, in the coming days, Russia will announce that these regions are now part of the Russian Federation, ushering in a new stage in the Russia-Ukraine war. Johnny Melodonetsk.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Finally, Iran accedes to the Shanghai Cooperation Council, SCO, as full member. It's part profit and part potential, as this Eurasian alliance that was forged in 2001 is still establishing new memberships and laying out the infrastructure to obtain its goals. Our question is, what will be Iran's role in the SCO's achieving its goals, and what will permanent membership do for Iran? Well, the Transcontinental Political Security and Economic Alliance does comprise over 40% of the world's population and just under 30% of its GDP, gross domestic product. And Iran, a major supplier of fossil fuels, is placed strategically on the North-South Corridor and the East-West Corridor. Welcome to Iran Today with me, Leila Faramarzi. Now, Iran had applied for full membership 15 years ago. So why the upgrade from observer status now? The JCPOA and Iran seemingly prioritizing the West in its foreign policy decisions seems to have been a problem. Although the two greatest powers on the SCO, that's Russia and China, are also party to the JCPOA. Anyhow, now with the JCPOA or nuclear deal struggling to survive and Iran looking to the East and neighborly relations for leverage and balance, it has qualified as a suitable candidate for SCO permanent membership. Also, Russia and China are at odds with America now. The Russia-Ukraine war is a rift between Russia and the West in total. And China is also sanctioned by the US, the US which interferes in overseas regions, creating turmoil. So now the East is closing ranks in securing its own interests. We got to have a chat with the Foreign Ministry spokesman, Mr. Kanani, busy as he is with the many alliances Iran has been forging or amending. That was at the ministry's exquisite conference hall with mirror and plasterwork.
We should not forget that at any rate we are witnessing regional alliances that are faced against globalist policies. Fortunately, this organization can challenge the unilateral policies of the United States. Member states are generally aligned with the same policies, including China and Russia. In this policy, we see similarities between the Islamic Republic of Iran and significant members of the organization, including China. Therefore, membership in the SCO can be a mutual bilateral opportunity both for the Islamic Republic and the SCO as an international organization observing regional politics.
Not to forget, Iran's permanent membership, which was confirmed at the 22nd SCO summit in Uzbekistan, is to be finalized in April of 2023. Now, the SCO doesn't want trouble, and while Iran's membership can neutralize the adverse effects of sanctions partially, I wondered whether sanctions prevailing might reverse Iran's status in the club by that time. For the time being, full membership will give this country some leverage and clout in ongoing Vienna talks for a more favorable JCPOA in the re-signing. Mr. Vafoy is a university professor, informed, meticulous and accurate in studying and teaching, all to do with Iran-Asia relations.
The imposition of sanctions does not hinder the organization's progress at all. In fact, it can neutralize some of its adverse effects. The reason is multilateralism, which is the motto of the organization, and the capabilities of its member states. When countries like India, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Pakistan are showing interest in joining the organization, it shows that the organization holds the potential to establish anti-sanctions measures.
The alliance has an interesting composition. It was formed 21 years ago by Russia, China, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan at a summit held in Shanghai. All our regional member states are WTO, World Trade Organization members, except for Uzbekistan. The SCO has four nuclear powers for member, and two greatest fossil fuel powers, Russia and Iran, and two great energy consumers, India and China, to buy from them. Now that they are all equal SCO partners, they can equally establish cooperation for energy transactions. The organization is a suitable bed for multilateral as well as bilateral transactions and cooperation, because primarily it's not a trade organization. But energy security is of paramount importance for these countries, which are major providers or producers of energy. And this is where Iran's importance is highlighted, for energy and security.
The SCO is a very large international collective that creates mutual opportunities for the Islamic Republic and the member states. While the collective of the SCO member states add up to more than 25% of the gross domestic production of the entire world. Roughly 40% of the population belong to the SCO member states. Therefore, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is a substantial economic opportunity and is a vast market. market. In the framework of the SCO membership, there will naturally be ample opportunities for its member states, including the IRI, especially in the context of regionalist and eastward policies of the Islamic Republic. The SCO is a very good opportunity to employ SCO capacities in line with its own interests and benefit, despite Iran-West relations.
Trade can be furthered and secured, with transit and energy security heightened as a consequence of this alliance that creates multilateralism in the world, hence breaking a U.S. hegemony and unilateralism. Even the issue of security is not dryly about guarding oil wells at gunpoint. SCO meetings have heard a range of issues discussed. The issue of food security, for one, has been emphasized. President Raisi himself emphasized issues such as health and the use of Iran's capabilities in that field, including the export of medical equipment and biotechnological drugs, as well as providing health tourism services to SCO member states by this country. Given the main goal of the SCO is security, how do you see Iran's membership helping regional security?
Security is one of the chief concerns of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Unfortunately, our region is generally home to many tensions and challenges. We witness new crises rise and old ones rekindled. The Islamic Republic has shown that it holds effective and serious potential in helping solve regional conflicts and strengthening political proceedings to deal with regional challenges.
Talking of trade, there are subordinate organizations to the SCO which might help boost member states' economy, such as the Business Council, Interbanking Association, or Energy Club. The SCO Business Council, founded in 2006, is a non-governmental body which brings together the most influential members of the business communities of member countries. It aims to boost economic cooperation in the framework of the organization. It gives expert assessments on the involvement of members of business communities of the SCO member states in trade, economic and investment interaction, again in the framework of the organization.
For example, Central Asian countries and China have defined well-established economic relations, but these relations require infrastructure. The member states will be willing to work in the framework I mentioned, both bilateral and multilateral. But if we have an issue with an SCO member, for example, and we expect multilateral relations to work, we'll hit a dead end.
In 2005, SCO heads of the Government Council decided to establish the SCO Interbank Consortium, what would translate as Interbanking Association in Persian. That was mainly to set up a mechanism of funding and banking services for investment projects supported by the governments of the SCO member states. Now, specifically for energy cooperation between members, the SCO Energy Club was founded in 2013. And since, apart from multilateral arrangements, members have also engaged in bilateral agreements in the energy sector, China and Russia have been building a natural gas pipeline since 2015, a pipeline under 3,400 kilometers long. That's the largest energy cooperation between the two countries. CGTN, Chinese television, put it in good terms. The SCO has been an incubator for regional synergy in the field of energy. Mr. Soni is an enterprising youth who shared his experience and insight with us. He is deputy chair of the Iran-Uzbekistan Joint Chamber of Commerce, with a healthy interest in introducing Uzbek opportunities.
According to the structure in the SCO, below the heads of states and ministers of foreign affairs, the secretariat is performing the activities. The secretariat is formed of permanent entities such as a consortium monitoring banking and financial transactions. This consortium is made up of a few banks that are from the SCO member states. One of the new plans of the consortium that they insist on realizing by 2026 is using the national currencies of the SCO member states and not relying on common currencies such as the dollar.
Some SCO projects being implemented are related to free trade zones and the Green Belt. Iran has several important ports and free trade zones, including the Chabahar port on the Oman Sea, which can connect Caspian states to the open warm waters of the south, among numerous other uses it has. Time for a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
More coming up, but first a quick diversion to see what other media outlets have to say. Here's how it looks on the page. Tasnim News points to SCOs taking notice of Iran's importance. SCO chief highlights Iran's role in international security, it reads. In a meeting with Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi held in Uzbekistan, Samarkand, SCO Secretary General Zhang Ming hailed Iran as a great and influential country that can play a significant role in regional and international security. Known as a major country in the region, Iran also holds close political and trade relations with the SCO members by relying on its broad historical and civilizational commonalities with the regional countries, Zhang Ming added, pointing to the arrangements made by the SCO Secretariat for Iran's membership in the SCO. The Chinese diplomat said he and Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian have signed the Memorandum of Commitments allowing Iran to join the organization. France 24 quotes how Saudi Arabia is finally reciprocating Iran's look to strengthening relations with neighbors. We intend to build a positive relationship with our neighbors in Iran, Saudi FM says. In an interview with France 24 on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York, Saudi Arabia's foreign minister said that his country had concerns about a possible revived nuclear deal between Western powers and Iran, especially over IAEA inspections. However, Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud said that even a flawed deal was better than no deal. He said there were still differences with Iran that currently precluded him meeting with his Iranian counterpart, but said we certainly have the intent to build a positive relationship with our neighbors in Iran. ORF Online sounds bluntly realistic. Iran's SCO accession, a timely yet insufficient gambit. The changing world order has opened the doors of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to Iran, but whether it will prove useful to the country is yet to be seen. Although the rising anti-Western narratives amongst the key SCO members manifest themselves differently in policy terms, Tehran's long-standing revisionism is set to drive Iran, Russia, and China relatively closer together in geopolitical and strategic matters. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei supports Raisi's Eastern policy, saying, "One of our priorities today in foreign policy is preferring the East to the West, neighbors to remote countries." As a part of its pivot to East policy, Iran seeks to play an active role in the shifting global order, thanks to its geostrategic position in the new geopolitical environment. And that'll be it for the news section. Do stay tuned. With its maximum pressure sanctions on Iran, Trump's USA had tried to bring this country's oil exports down to zero. Although sanctions did make a good dent in our oil revenues, that wicked plan didn't quite pull off. China and India have their more urgent needs than the necessity of appeasing the US with its secondary sanctions. And China, a dangerous rival to US trade, has suffered and had to find a way around US sanctions anyway. Now, with Iran's SCO accession, things can only get better, optimism aside.
There are three requirements before we can reach our economy, cultural, tourism, environment, investment, and banking potentials of this alliance. The first requirement is the assessment and introduction of laws that are needed to join the SCO by Iran. This will definitely be time-consuming. The second requirement is creating technical and logistic infrastructure to be able to use the potentials of the SCO in the competitive market that will be created for Iranian firms. Joining this organization is certainly a great exercise for the future of Iran, so that it can join the World Trade Organization. The third requirement for Iran in order to invite and host the companies and investors from SCO members is solving our issues of sanctions to be present in the main tier of the organization.
Some points top of the agenda to facilitate dealings without a shadow of the U.S. with its dollar and control over banks is the removal of the U.S. dollar and the euro. Iran even offered to the other sides the use of insurance and new financial channels that its central bank has in mind. Alireza Peymanpak, head of TPOI, confirmed this, TPOI being the trade promotion organization of Iran. He also said, in the field of customs, similar to the agreement signed between the three countries of Iran, Azerbaijan and Russia a few months ago, negotiations have also been conducted with other countries. All these measures will lead to the development of trade and the creation of stable income for the Islamic Republic.
Every year, first the heads of states and then the ministers of foreign affairs of SCO member states should be able to come up with creative measures regarding economy, cultural, transportation, and logistics matters. They should be able to use these creative measures and international agreements with various other organizations to increase the economic development under sustainable economic policies and take a viable step for all member states.
The level of trade between Iran and its potential 25-year all-round partner, China, is that Iran-China bilateral trade witnessed an increase of 19% in the first 8 months of this year, hitting over $11 billion. Iran's exports to China in the first 8 months of 2022 increased by 14% compared to the same period last year and reached under $5 billion. Iran's imports from China between January and August of the current year also witnessed an increase of 24%, which brought imports up to over $6 billion. China exported $5 billion worth of goods to Iran between January and August of last year. In August, China exported $1.1 billion worth of goods to Iran and imported $476 million worth of goods from this country. China's exports to Iran have increased by 36% this month, but the country's imports from Iran have decreased by 33% compared to August of 2021. Although on such a grand scale, the importance of supervision over implementation and capital and income is paramount. A source in the Ministry of Roads announced that Iran is making efforts to launch a direct train from China to Iran, and the capacity for trade between member states will increase as transportation and transit grow.
When you are invited to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and you accept the invitation, the role that you'll have in the SCO is not defined by other nations. It's your business. If the Islamic Republic has a well-planned strategy, it can find exactly what role it can play in this puzzle and use the potentials of the organization. We see China, Russia, and others do that. Central Asian countries are using this very well. Keep in mind that in all other international organizations, even the United Nations, they give you a seat. But what you do with that seat is entirely up to you. You can either do nothing and sit idle, or you can seek for new opportunities and use them.
Every two or few states may decide on their own bilateral or multilateral relations and agreements, but those are influenced by each state's relations with third parties, And in a club, each member can have an impact on ambiance and affairs ongoing. One of the decisions reached at the recent Samarkand-Uzbekistan summit was to begin the process of including Bahrain, the Maldives, the UAE, Kuwait and Myanmar as new dialogue partners. Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Egypt signed MOUs and were granted the status of SCO dialogue partners. It would seem the East is setting up a front before and against the West, but our analysts say not. Would you say the Shanghai Cooperation has created a front before Western alliances?
The Islamic Republic of Iran, according to its own principles, is not seeking to participate a certain bloc or oppose another. Even in the context of our look East and Asia-oriented policy, especially in the era of the new administration, the 13th administration, their approach is not creating a conflict or joining an axis to oppose another. It's seeking balanced relations in the sense that it will use all the existing capacities and opportunities in order to realize and protect the interests of the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially in terms of economy.
The SCO, a regional forum promoting regionalism and a win-win opportunity for Eurasian members, was launched to combat the three evils: terrorism, separatism, and extremism. After signing a multidimensional 25-year strategic treaty with China and preparing to make a similar deal with Russia in the near term, Iran's accession to the SCO could be seen as the third decisive move in this country's deep inclination towards the East.
The presence of China as the founder of the Belt and Road Initiative and the presence of Iran that created the North-South Corridor and the fact that member states can access them can make their roles much more significant. Central Asian countries, and especially India, can utilize this and connect to the Indian Ocean from Iran to St. Petersburg and then Europe. Central Asian countries can utilize the North-South Corridor, which can be impactful in the SCO.
The Belt and Road, as it is called, isn't in essence about the road. We know what a road does. It connects point A to point B. But in the SCO, we don't talk about roads. It is more like a corridor. I mean, in a corridor, in addition to connecting point A to point B, there are events that take place in the distance between these points. What I mean is that the distance between A and B will experience development.
Just one thing. I wondered how far the security alliance, the SCO, would go to help us in dealing with security problems occasionally arising. Would it be profit or potential help? Because any benefits from deals and clubs can only follow security and stability. Why don't you scrub out propagandist rumors for us? I think going by honesty is the best policy. The real picture should be a better picture of the Shanghai Cooperation.
There is a concept called the spirit of the SCO, on which the Chinese and Russians insist. They must be carefully studied by other countries as well. When we study the spirit of the SCO, we see the issue of convergence and multilateralism is insisted upon. It's interesting to know that a motto of the SCO, which must be focused on in Iran, is non-aligned participation and cooperation. It's very important because we need to be realistic when we consider membership in the SCO. We can't say it'll solve everything like a fantasy. The principle of non-alignment convergence. What is that? It's the same as the Organization of Non-Aligned Nations. They said we are allies and we have converged, but there are no alignments with other countries. We should know that, for example, if we are members of the SCO and a war takes place in a member state, none of the member states are obliged to give military aid to that state. This is non-aligned convergence, as we see Russia is at war, but none of the Shanghai member states have an obligation to go and help Russia. This is the difference between SCO and NATO.
That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Bye for now. رَبَّنَا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 found in As-Sahif As-Sajjadiyya for Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zainul Abidin. We go to the part where the Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from وَمُتَابَعَةِ الْهَوَى, to follow one's caprice or to follow one's desires. Now, hawa in Arabic, linguistically, it means love of something or wanting it. That's what hawa means in Arabic. Without trying to differentiate between whether the thing that you love is a good thing or a bad thing, it's something that's praised or something that's frowned upon, without any differentiation, ugly or beautiful, never mind. Hawa means loving something, wanting something, regardless of what it is. And hawa is related to the nafs of the human being, to the soul of the human being, to the essence of the human being, what makes me, not the body, right? The inside of the body. And it makes a person, this hawa, this love and wanting for things, it makes a person, it gives orders to the person to do things on the outside. Now, these orders, whether they are good or bad as well, a person should not follow himself. Because even if the self gives you orders and the good thing, well, usually we say this goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Because Allah wants what He wants, not what yourself wants, okay? So let's say Shaitan, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to prostrate, he refused because he said, well, I will prostrate to you, O Allah, thousands of years. What I feel like, not what you feel like. Allah said, no thanks. Let us take a break and then we'll continue right after.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we're looking at hawa nafs, the needs and wants of the soul. So we said following one's desires or one's wants when it comes to his nafs, actually from an ethical background, from an ethical aspect, it's looked at as shirkun billah, as taking partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah wants and I want. And this is just playing the opposites compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min should always have in mind that he will always do what Allah wants from him. Therefore, he should not have wants when it comes to things that are not allowed for him, not permitted for him. So the Imam alayhi salam, when he says, وَمُتَابَعَةُ الْهَوَىٰ, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from following my desires. I mean, just continuing with that path. It's like, I don't want that. Which is, that will take a person and makes him commit haram and to just to indulge himself because he have this so much love. And this concept of hawa, of self-want and self-need and self-gratification, in fact, the Quran looks at it as an ilah, as a god. And the Quran makes that very clearly. And he says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَهُ. Have you not seen he who took his own hawa, his love for oneself, as a god? وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And Allah has misguided this person while he has knowledge of him being misguided. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ. And Allah sealed his hearing. وَقَلْبِهِ. And his heart. وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غُشَاوَةً. And he put a veil in front of their eyes. And then Allah says, فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Who would guide him after that? مِنْ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ. If Allah does not guide him, who will? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you remember? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to me, saying, he's saying that you start to love things and you start to want things so much so that it becomes the only thing that you seek and the only thing that you worship. And a lot of people, without realizing, they fall into this category. Let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. Now we were saying that human beings, sometimes we love ourselves and we have so much hawa and wanting and desires that we start to worship them. Obviously, no one says, yeah, I worship it, but in action, we do. So sometimes you see people, their main aim in life is just to make money. They're constantly talking about money, constantly trying to make money. Life to them is all about money. Every time you sit with them is money, money, money. Nothing else but money. So you can see that their desires became so occupied that they just want to fulfill that desire, that hawa, that love of money. And Allah says they have made their money their god. And thus you'll find in the American dollar, in God we trust. Basically, it is says in the dollar we trust, not God. And sometimes you have people who have the same desires and same passion when it comes to, for example, the opposite gender, to males or females. So when it comes to their sexuality, it becomes their god. Some people have this love when it comes to themselves, when it comes to food. They have so much passion about food, it becomes also their gods. So Allah says, اتخذ إله هواه. He took his own desires and his own pleasures as god. And each one of us, if we're not careful, we will find that we have so many gods in our lives that we worship. We worship our kids, our families, our wives, our husbands, our cars, our houses, our wealth, our positions at work. So much things we worship because we're so attached to them. Allah says, if you do get attached to these things, to the materialistic matter, because yourself wants it, then keep in mind that you're taking partners to me. Sometimes a person gets attached so much to his phone that becomes his god. He just, has that the iPhone has to be protected with whatever it takes. When it comes to salah, who cares?
When it comes to Quran, who cares? Phone has to be protected. So we take so many things as gods without realizing. We have to be very, very careful. We will continue this topic, inshallah, in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را یا
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.